history, apologetics, and current events. From the Housetops, coming up next.
The great doctor of the Church, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, reminds us that the angelical salutation, the Hail Mary, is most pleasing to the ever-blessed Virgin. For whenever she hears it, it would seem as if the joy which she experienced when St. Gabriel announced to her that she was the chosen Mother of God was renewed in her. And with this object in view, we should often salute her with the Hail Mary. Salute her, says Thomas a Kempis, author of The Imitation of Christ, with the Hail Mary, for she indeed hears this sound with pleasure. The Divine Mother herself told St. Matilda that no one could salute her in a manner more agreeable to herself than with the Hail Mary. Mary's salutation, says St. Bonaventure, will always be some grace corresponding to the wants of him who salutes her. She willingly salutes us with grace if we willingly salute her with a Hail Mary. Richard of St. Lawrence adds that if we address the Mother of our Lord saying Hail Mary, she cannot refuse the grace we ask. Mary herself promised St. Gertrude as many graces at death as she would have said Hail Marys. Blessed Alan asserts that as all heaven rejoices when the Hail Mary is said, so also do the devils tremble and take flight. October is the month of the Holy Rosary, the devotion that has as its central prayer the Hail Mary. It is well known that the devotion of the Most Holy Rosary was revealed to St. Dominic by the Divine Mother herself, at a time when the saint was in affliction, as he struggled to convert the Albigensian heretics, who were at that time doing great mischief, damage to the church. The Blessed Virgin said to him, "This land will always be sterile until rain falls on it." St. Dominic was then given to understand that this rain was the devotion of the rosary, which he was to propagate. This the saint indeed did, and it was embraced by all Catholics, so much so that even to the present day there is no devotion so generally practiced by the faithful of all classes as that of the rosary. The immense good that this noble devotion has done to the world is well known. How many by its means have been delivered from sin? How many led to a life of holiness? How many to a good death and are now saved? To be convinced of this, we need only read the many books that treat on the subject. Suffice it to say now that this devotion has been approved by the Church and that the Sovereign Pontiffs have enriched it with indulgences. The Rosary should always be said with devotion, and here we may call to mind what the Blessed Virgin said to St. Eulalia, that she was better pleased with 5 decades said slowly and devoutly than with 15 said in a hurry and with little devotion. It is therefore well to say the Rosary kneeling before an image of Mary, and before each decade to make an act of love to Jesus and Mary and ask them for particular graces. It is also preferable to say it with others rather than alone. We'll conclude our thoughts on the Rosary with encouragement from St. Louis de Montfort. He says, "Even if you have to fight distractions all through your whole Rosary, be sure to fight well, arms in hand. That is to say, do not stop saying your Rosary, even if it is difficult to say and you have no sensible devotion. It is a terrible conflict, but one that is profitable to the faithful soul. If you put down your arms, that is, if you give up the rosary, you will be admitting defeat, and then the devil, having got what he wanted, will leave you in peace, and on the day of judgment will taunt you because of your faithlessness and lack of courage. He who is faithful in little things will also be faithful in those that are greater." Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in rejecting the smallest distractions, when he says even the smallest prayer, will also be faithful in great things. Nothing is more certain, since the Holy Ghost has told us so.
From the Housetops Radio features the same Catholic doctrine, spirituality, church history, and apologetics published for over 40 years in From the Housetops magazine. This program, dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, promotes her cause in the age-old conflict with the powers of darkness. From the Housetops on WQPH 89.3 FM.
We continue now with True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. True devotion to Mary might rightly be called perfect renewal of the vows or promises of holy baptism. For every Christian, before his baptism, was the slave of the devil, seeing that he belonged to him. He has in his baptism, by his own mouth or by his sponsors, solemnly renounced Satan, his pomps, and his works, and has taken Jesus Christ for his master and sovereign Lord, to depend upon him in the quality of a slave of love. That is what we do by this devotion. We renounce, as is expressed in the formula of consecration, the devil, the world, sin, and self, and we give ourselves entirely to Jesus Christ by the hands of Mary. And we even do something more, for in baptism we ordinarily speak by the mouth of another, our Godfather or Godmother, and so we give ourselves to Jesus Christ not by ourselves but through another. But in this devotion we do it by ourselves, voluntarily, knowing what we are doing. Moreover, in holy baptism we do not give ourselves to Jesus by the hands of Mary, at least not in any explicit manner, and we do not give him the value of our good actions. We remain entirely free, after baptism, either to apply them to whom we please or to keep them for ourselves. But by this devotion we give ourselves to our Lord explicitly by the hands of Mary, and we consecrate to him the value of all our actions. Men, says St. Thomas Aquinas, make a vow at their baptism to renounce the devil in all his pomps. This vow, says St. Augustine, is the greatest and most indispensable of all vows. Yet who has kept this great vow? Who is it that faithfully performs the promises of holy baptism? Have not almost all Christians swerved from the loyalty which they promised Jesus in their baptism? How did this universal disobedience come about? It was from the forgetfulness of the promises and obligations of holy baptism, and from the fact that hardly anyone ratifies of himself the contract he made with God by those who stood sponsors for him. This is so true that the Council of Sens, convoked to remedy the disorders of Christians, judged that the principal cause of that corruption of morals arose from the ignorance in which men lived of their obligations of holy baptism, and it could think of no better means for remedying this great evil than to persuade Christians to renew the vows and promises of baptism. The Catechism of the Council of Trent, the faithful interpreter of that holy council, exhorts the parish priest to do the same and to induce the people to remind themselves and to believe that they are bound and consecrated as slaves to our Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer and their Lord. These are its words, quote, "The parish priest shall exhort the faithful people so that they may know that it is most just that we should devote and consecrate ourselves forever to our Lord and Redeemer as his very slaves." End quote. Now, if the councils, the fathers, and even experience show us that the best means of remedying the irregularities of Christians is by making them call to mind the obligations of their baptism and persuading them to renew now the vows they made then, is it not only right that we should do it in a perfect manner by this devotion and consecration of ourselves to our Lord through His Blessed Mother? I say in a perfect manner because in thus consecrating ourselves to Him, we make use of the most perfect of all means, namely the Blessed Virgin. No one can object to this devotion as being either new or an indifferent one. It is not new because the councils, the fathers, and many authors, both ancient and modern, speak of this consecration to our Lord, or renewal of the vows and promises of baptism, as of a thing anciently practiced, and which they counsel to all Christians. Neither is it a matter of indifference, because the principal source of all disorders, and consequently of the eternal perdition of Christians, comes from their forgetfulness and indifference about this practice. But some may object that this devotion in making us give our Lord, by Our Lady's hands, the value of all our good works, prayers, mortifications, and alms, puts us in a state of incapacity for assisting the souls of our parents, friends, and benefactors. I answer them as follows. That it is not credible that our parents, friends, and benefactors should suffer from the fact of our being devoted and consecrated without exception to the service of our Lord and His Blessed Mother. To think this would be to think unworthily of the goodness and power of Jesus and Mary, who know well how to assist our parents, friends, and benefactors out of our own little spiritual revenue or by other ways. Second, this practice does not hinder us from praying for others, whether dead or living, although the application of our good works depends on the will of our Blessed Lady. On the contrary, it is this very thing which will lead us to pray with more confidence, just as a rich person who has given all his wealth to his prince in order to honor him the more would beg the prince all the more confidently to give an alms to one of his friends who should ask for it. It would even be a source of pleasure to the prince to be given an occasion of proving his gratitude toward a person who had stripped himself to clothe him and impoverished himself to honor him. We must say the same of our Blessed Lord and Our Lady. They will never let themselves be outdone in gratitude. Someone may perhaps say, if I give to our Blessed Lady all the value of my actions to apply to whom she wills, I may have to suffer a long time in purgatory. This objection, which comes from self-love and ignorance of the generosity of God and His Holy Mother, refutes itself. A fervent and generous soul who gives God all he has, without reserve, so that he can do nothing more, who lives only for the glory and reign of Jesus Christ through His Holy Mother, and who makes an entire sacrifice of himself to bring it about, will this generous and liberal soul, I say, be more punished in the other world because it has been more liberal and more disinterested than others? Far indeed will that be from the truth. Rather, it is toward that soul, as we shall see by what follows, that our Lord and His Blessed Mother are the most generous in this world and in the next, in the orders of nature, grace, and glory.
We'll be back with more from the housetops after this break.
Hi, I'm Bob Young. I live in Leominster. I want to thank WQPH for being here, 89.3 FM. Great day for the fall, pumpkins and apple and socializing. It's just great to be down here.
We are listener supported, which means that you are WQPH 89.3 FM. Did you know that one of our station's costs is $1,280 a month for our cell tower? Yes, that is a big expense. If you choose to donate by check, please make checks payable to ELRN. Then send it to WQPH 89.3 FM, P.O. Box 589, Medford, Mass. 02155. Or you can go to our website at www.wqphradio.org. Then click on the donate button. You will be able to pay by PayPal, credit card, or bank card. Please consider donating and supporting your local Catholic radio station.
Hello, I'm Kendra Von Esch. Go be the light. Walk in the light of the Lord. But what does that really mean? It means that if you have had an encounter with Jesus, you have the light inside you. You have been illuminated with truth, faith. You will never be the same. And joy is most likely oozing from you because of this hope of heaven. There are so many who are still in the dark. They're sad, worried, unfaithful, scared of death, and on the wide road to destruction. As Christians, we show this light through our love, our peace, and our joy, especially through the difficult times in our lives. So go be the light today. Smile at others, and when they ask you how come you're so happy, tell them it is Jesus. For more inspiration and free resources, go to kendravonesch.com.
We're here with Father Bob, and he has a message for all those who are suffering from certain anxieties and issues with our current world and how to cope.
We are the people of God, and God's never going to abandon us. He watches over us, and that's why some things are beyond our control. What's happening with Russia and Ukraine and also in Israel and Gaza. There's a lot of things, the violence in the United States of America, people using knives and guns and stabbing people. So for ourselves, we trust that the Lord, Lord Jesus, you bring us peace, you bring us healing, you watch over us. Watch over those, especially those who are suffering from anxiety, discouragement, they're not quite sure if everything's okay. We know that if we trust in you, all is well and all will be well because it's beyond, we're not in control of the world. You are. You are the Creator. You are the Son of God. You've given us the grace of healing, the grace of love, the sense of hope that all of us have hope because we trust that the Lord would never ever abandon us. He knows you, the God's daughter, the God's son. And I will walk with you today. I'll walk with you tomorrow. I'll walk with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
For the protection of our nation, please join us as we pray. Most Holy Trinity, our Father in heaven, who chose Mary as the fairest of your daughters, Holy Spirit, who chose Mary as your spouse, God the Son, who chose Mary as your mother. In union with Mary, we adore your majesty and acknowledge your supreme eternal dominion and authority. Most Holy Trinity, we put the United States of America into the hands of Mary Immaculate, so that she may present the country to you. Through her, we wish to thank you for the great resources of this land and for the freedom which has been its heritage. Through the intercession of Mary, have mercy on the Catholic Church in America. Grant us peace. Have mercy on our president and on all the officers of our government. Grant us a fruitful economy, born of justice and charity. Have mercy on capital, industry, and labor. Protect the family life of the nation. Guard the precious gift of many religious vocations. Through the intercession of your mother, have mercy on the sick, the tempted, sinners, and on all who are in need. Mary, Immaculate Virgin, our Mother, patroness of our land, we praise you and honor you and give ourselves to you. Protect us from every harm. Pray for us, that acting always according to your will and the will of your divine Son, we may live and die pleasing to God. Amen.
This is Brother Christopher from St. Benedict Center and Brother Patrick Joseph. You are listening to WQPH 89.3 FM, Queen of Perpetual Hope Radio. You can listen to From the Housetops on the WQPH app. Check us out or listen live at 4:30 and also in the morning at 10:30 on Sundays for the From the Housetops radio show.
In 1985, we launched From the Housetops audio tapes, a series of recordings taken from the Housetops publication and other works published by St. Benedict Center. We are grateful to Muriel Delaney for this presentation on the Rosary, Hail Full of Grace, by Father Leonard Feeney.
The Most Holy Rosary. We say Hail Mary, Full of Grace, to our Blessed Lady in 15 mysteries of the Holy Rosary, 5 joyful, 5 sorrowful, and 5 glorious. The 5 joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary are concerned with Jesus as a child. The joyful mysteries are the Annunciation, when Mary conceived him, the Visitation, when she carried him in her womb to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the Nativity, when Jesus was born of her in a stable at Bethlehem for the salvation of the world, the Presentation, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, when God incarnate entered the temple for the first time and was offered there to his eternal Father, and the Finding in the temple, when Jesus, at the age of 12, lost for 3 days, was found by Joseph and Mary, teaching the intellectuals of his day that God's revelations to man are perfectly given and perfectly received when taught and listened to in the manner of a child. We say Hail Mary, Full of Grace, to our Blessed Lady in the 5 sorrowful mysteries. The sorrowful mysteries are concerned entirely with Jesus grown to manhood. They are remembrances of what Mary suffered on the 3 days of the passion and death of Jesus. The 5 sorrowful mysteries are the agony in the garden, when Jesus sweated blood in abundance because of our sins, the scourging at the pillar, when blood was taken from his sacred body by cruel lashings and abuses on the part of his enemies, the crowning with thorns, when his royal and divine head was ignominiously dishonored, the carrying of the cross, during which he fell 3 times, bleeding and exhausted, and the crucifixion on Mount Calvary, when he was nailed to a cross between 2 thieves and gave up all his blood and his life for us and the remission of our sins. We say Hail Mary, Full of Grace, to our Blessed Lady in the 5 glorious mysteries of the Rosary. The glorious mysteries are concerned, 2 of them, with the triumph of Jesus in the resurrection of his body from the grave and his ascension in soul and body into heaven. The middle glorious mystery is the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles at the first Pentecost, with Mary, Queen of Apostles, seated in their midst, showing us that all messages of God to man are henceforth to come to us under her protection and through her guiding inspiration. The last two glorious mysteries are the Assumption of Mary into heaven and her coronation there as Queen and Mistress of all God ever created. As presented to loving children of Mary, to say the Holy Rosary is given to us in the form of a chaplet. A chaplet consists of 5 decades. A decade is a group of 10 Hail Marys, preceded by one Our Father. Each decade is devoted to one of the 5 subjects in the 3 sets of the Rosary's mysteries. The Holy Rosary, in full recitation, consists of 15 Our Fathers and 150 Hail Marys. This number of Hail Marys is called the Psalter of the Blessed Virgin. This is because the Royal Psalter of David in the Old Testament contains 150 psalms. But nothing King David ever sang or said, by way of supplication or of praise, ever equaled in majesty or in dignity the phrases of the simple and much repeated prayer of the Holy Rosary, which we call the Hail Mary. The Holy Rosary, as ordinarily said, is a recitation of 5 prayers, the sign of the cross, the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, known as the Doxology. By way of approach to the recitation of the 5 decades of the Rosary, one says an introductory Our Father and 3 Hail Marys, and a Glory be to the Father. This is in honor of the 3 persons in God, and also in honor of the Trinity, of elections in Mary, who is at once the perfect daughter of God the Father, the perfect mother of God the Son, and the perfect spouse of God the Holy Ghost. The sign of the cross, in which we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen, is made 2 times in the recitation of the Rosary, at the very beginning and at the very end. There is no more immediate profession of faith than the sign of the cross. While saying our beads, we hold a small crucifix in our hand as we make the sign of the cross. It is the small crucifix attached to the Rosary. We place it first on our foreheads, then on our breasts, then on our shoulders. We end by kissing with our mouth the image of Jesus Christ on the cross. There are, in best tradition, 4 nails in the hands and feet of Jesus represented on the cross, 1 in each hand and 1 in each foot. There are also 4 letters placed in title above his head. These letters are I-N-R-I. They are the 1st letters of each word in the Latin inscription, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum, which means Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title was placed above our Lord's head on the cross when he died. Orders to have it put there were given by the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, despite the wild protests of the Jews. It was written in 3 languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. This title has a feast all for itself, which may be celebrated on the 3rd Sunday of July. This title commemorates the fact that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Apostles' Creed is recited 1 in the Rosary, at the beginning, after the sign of the cross. The Our Father is recited 5 times, and the Hail Mary 50 times. In a full Rosary, embracing all its mysteries, there are, as we have already said, 15 Our Fathers and 150 Hail Marys. And all this is not counting the 1 Our Father and the 3 Hail Marys said by way of approach to the recitation of each chaplet, or of all 3 chaplets said at once. Why such an abundant saying of Hail Marys in the Rosary? It is because the mysteries contemplated therein are all Marys. The Holy Rosary is a Mary approach to God in eternity. 12 of the mysteries of the Rosary refer to our Lord, but it is to our Lord as thought of in union with Mary and meditated on in Mary's mind and loved by Mary's Immaculate Heart. 1 of the mysteries of the Holy Rosary is a contemplation of God the Holy Ghost, not as he is in repose in the Godhead, but as he descends in the form of tongues of fire on Mary, Queen of the Apostles, and on all her subjects on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, and 10 days after the ascension of our Lord into heaven, at the very end of the first great novena. Two of the mysteries of the Rosary are dedicated to Mary herself, both in thought and in theme. First, in her glorious assumption into heaven, 3 days after her death, when she was 72 years old, in the year 58 A.D., and then in her coronation in heaven as queen of all God ever did or could create. The Holy Rosary is not merely a prayer of our minds. It is a prayer of our hearts, our mouths, our hands. We move in the Holy Rosary into a realization of the mysteries God has revealed to us in a way no angel ever could. We speak as we pray. We love as we meditate. We bow our heads as we adore. We move our fingers as we advance into the most central mysteries of our faith. A remembrance of the Rosary is constantly kept by the pair of beads we hold in our hand, kiss lovingly, and reverently fold when we have finished our prayer, and put in our pockets or some other guarded and intimate place for protection when we have finished the love duty of saying the Rosary as often as we can. The Rosary is a Catholic's identification mark. Once the Rosary beads are seen held in our hands or heard rustling in our pockets, no further questions are ever asked by anyone as to what is our faith. The Holy Rosary suggests times for itself when we can recite it best. This would be beautifully as we are going to sleep at night, or waking from sleep in the morning, making its mysteries our last or our first thoughts of the day. The Holy Rosary even lures us to a place in which we can say it with supreme reverence. This is in a church or chapel, in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. There we may join the beating of our hearts, the moving of our fingers, the utterance of our lips, to the bowing of our heads, to the bending of our knees, in sheer incarnational adoration of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, really and truly present in the tabernacle of every Catholic Church.
Well, this brings us to the end of our program, From the Housetops, that which you hear in the ear, preach from the housetops. I'm your host, Brother Matthew. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, God bless you.
From the Housetops is produced by the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Still River, Massachusetts.